Tonight, before we move into our time of prayer, we're going to look at the Word a little bit. And this week, I want to look at something we weren't able to delve into as much as I would like to during the sermon. There just wasn't enough space. And this has to do with what we lightly touched on Sunday night about suffering, the suffering of Christ and glory. We looked on Sunday evening at some of the sufferings of Jesus and how that relates to the suffering in this life for the believer. So Christ's sufferings and our sufferings. One of the things that we noted was that in the scriptures, in the New Testament especially, but also in the Old Testament, when they speak about the sufferings of Jesus, they frequently, very frequently, link his sufferings to his glory. Maybe about 20 different places. So this is a strong teaching, clear teaching from the Bible. The sufferings of Christ are closely linked to the glory of Christ. And because we who are believers are united to Christ, and since his sufferings are linked to his glory, we start to see that our sufferings in Christ are linked to a glory that we're going to share with Christ. So this is telling us, as we suffer in this life, and we will suffer, you want to acknowledge that suffering, but you also want to have a certainty that there is a glory that you will surely enter into, just as certainly as Christ entered into glory after his suffering. So let's look at a cluster of passages that talk about Christ's suffering and how we're linked to them and how they're linked to his glory. Just very briefly, we're going to go through six things in a number of passages. First of all, we'll see how Christ had to suffer. First, Christ had to suffer. Secondly, Christ had to be rejected. He had to be rejected. Thirdly, Christ's sufferings are linked to Christ's resurrected glory. Christ's sufferings are linked to his resurrected glory. And fourthly, we who believe share in Christ's sufferings and glory. We who believe share in Christ's sufferings and glory. Fifthly, we who are in Christ are being perfected in our sufferings. We who are in Christ are being perfected in our sufferings. Then sixthly, Christ suffered to lead us out of our sins. Christ suffered to make us holy. His suffering has a sin-delivering effect. So very briefly, we'll just run through some passages that speak to each of those things. First of all, Christ had to suffer. Christ had to suffer. Acts 17:3, it says, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus, whom I preach to you, is the Christ. So the Christ that we preach, the Christ that's preached to us, he had to suffer. Acts 26:23, he continues, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. The Christ would suffer. And that was a stumbling block. They were expecting a Christ who would come and dominate and throw down the earthly rulers and set up a kingdom and be victorious. Non-stop victory, like a team who comes, they hit the field and the entire season, they're always winning. Instead, they got a Christ who would suffer and die. It was God's design and Christ's intent that Jesus would suffer as a human. So we're not surprised, if that's the case, that Christianity, our Christianity, teaches that we must expect to go through a similar path of suffering in our discipleship. Now, secondly, Christ had to be rejected. Mark 8:31. He began to teach them, this is Jesus teaching, that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. So the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected. The Christ had to be rejected. Mark 9:12. Then he answered and told them, "Indeed, Elijah is coming first and restores all things. And how is it written concerning the Son of Man? That he must suffer many things and be treated with contempt." So Elijah would come, and then the Son of Man would come, and he must suffer many things. He had to be treated with contempt. He had to come and be hated. Luke 17:25. But first, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Do you want a Jesus that is going to be rejected by this culture? That's what had to happen. He had to be rejected by this generation. So one kind of suffering that Christ went through was rejection by the establishment. The government, the church, rejected him. They were suspicious of him. He had to be canceled. And so we shouldn't be surprised if following Jesus takes you through a path of scorn, of ridicule, of losing social respect. Not because we're acting abrasive, not because we're unloving, but because we worship God, because we believe on Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world, because we love our neighbor as ourselves. Thirdly, Christ's sufferings are linked to Christ's resurrected glory. The sufferings of Christ linked to the glory in resurrection. Luke 24:26. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things to enter into his glory? Shouldn't have been the case that he suffered so that he would enter into glory. Then verse 46, Luke 24:46. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." It was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead. You would not have a resurrected Christ if he didn't first suffer as the Christ. 1 Peter 1:11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who is in them was indicating when he, the Holy Spirit ahead of time, when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. From the beginning, the Holy Spirit was telling us Christ would suffer and glories would follow. 1 Peter 1:11. Then Hebrews 2:10. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. He was going to bring the sons to glory, but it was fitting that the way that he would bring us to glory was through sufferings that would perfect him. So we see the sufferings of Jesus followed by glory. The sufferings got a purpose to bring him to glory. The sufferings will end. His sufferings ended. Exaltation and honor will follow. The resurrection, his exaltation, his glorification, those are all essential to your Christology. Your Christology is not just that Jesus was a substitute who died. You have to have his resurrection, his exaltation, his glorification. And if you're a believer, that means united to him, you have a resurrection, you have exaltation, you have glorifications to come. And those three must be part of your soteriology. Don't let your soteriology only be, "My sins are forgiven, I am justified." Your soteriology has to have your resurrection, your exaltation, your glorification to come in Christ. Now, fourthly, we who believe will share in Christ's sufferings and glory. Lots of verses here. Let me just read two. Romans 8:17. And if children, this is speaking of us, if we're children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. We're children, we're heirs, and so it's fitting that we're going to suffer with him and be glorified together. with him. Philippians 3:10, Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. The sufferings that we experience in Christ, we are somehow, mysteriously, by the work of the Spirit, being joined to Christ and sharing a fellowship of suffering. He is saying to us, I know what it's like. And in a weird way, we are able to say, as we go through these things, as we look at the sufferings of Christ, I know what that's like. It's not presumptuous to be thinking that way. Just as Jesus suffered, followers of Jesus should expect to suffer. You should not like suffering, but you should expect to find fellowship in your suffering. But you should also expect, just as Jesus was glorified, that you will be entering and have started to enter into his glory. You're going to take part of it. There's coming a day when you will be on the stage, up front, and share the stage with Jesus Christ. That's part of what it means to be seated with him in the heavenly places. Now, fifthly, we who are in Christ are being perfected in our sufferings. The sufferings are completing this ongoing work of making us to be like Christ. They're perfecting us. 1 Peter 5:10, may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. You're being called to glory. After you've suffered a little bit, you will find that you've been perfected by the suffering, established by it, strengthened by it, settled by it. Your present sufferings are making you someone better, someone stronger, someone with more hope. You will have a testimony of having survived a house fire. You will have a testimony of being pulled out of a raging storm when your ship sank. You will know your God in a deeper way, even if it means you get swallowed by a whale. Lastly, Christ suffered to lead us out of our sins. Christ suffered to make us holy. His sufferings are so that we would become more and more obedient and holy. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. He suffered once for sins to bring us to God. Then a few verses forward, 1 Peter 4:1. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. He who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. You were saved by Jesus to become holy. You were saved by Jesus to become part of the holy people. In your standing, you're imputed as righteous. In your performance, you are actually becoming more and more obedient, more and more holy in your behavior. His sufferings, your present sufferings, are both designed to make sin less palatable. I've sometimes told the story of a time when I was plunged into what for me was great sufferings. For me, it was a long trial of fear and anxiety. And it was, looking back on it, it was probably about a year straight of nonstop panic attacks. It was bad. It was very hard. But I can tell you one thing that happened. A lot of my besetting sins died. Would I trade one for the other? Probably, yeah. But the Lord lifted the trials, lifted the suffering. Expect that as you go through sufferings, especially deeper sufferings, you are finding forged in you a soul with less tolerance for personal sin. Expect your suffering to make it easier for you to live righteously. How? 1 Peter 3:18 that we read, it says, by the Spirit. It's by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit uses your suffering. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is going to use your suffering to energize you, energize your new man to stop sinning. He's going to use suffering and his power to help you stop sinning. The chains have been removed. The chains are being removed. You are free. You're entering more into freedom. Get some help getting those grave cloths unwrapped from yourself. Amen.